Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
And Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
We have to think about the phrasing of the question.
Agreed.
Is the question, who is Kamala Harris, or is the question, who is the vice president? Because I believe my caveat is that you have to ask people who the vice president of the United States is.
Which should make the number more likely to be in your favor, which I agree with. If I say who's Kamala Harris, I think more people will know. But I still think it'll be above 10%. So I'll go with who is the vice president.
Okay. Dawn, do you agree with that as the official judge of Kale and Company?
Yes. Who is, to ask the open-ended question,
yes,
who is the vice president of the United States of America?
Judge Dawn, weeknights at 10 on Fox 29.
But what if they say, well, wait a minute, Biden stepped out, because they might confuse the campaign with the...
True.
Yeah, so... If they mention her name, and you know, if they say, well, wait a minute, Biden stepped down, and wait, who's her VP? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Biden is still the president of the United States until January of 2025. Until Inauguration Day comes, or at least until the election on November 5th, Joe is still the president. So technically, Kamala is still the vice president.
And by the way, one more thing before we get to Dawn's big three. Sorry, Nick, I didn't mean to commandeer this. If you're watching right now on YouTube, please hit the like button. Everybody who's watching right now, please hit the like button on the show you're watching. It's free. Just click the like button because it tricks the YouTube algorithms into getting in more people's feeds because they ain't doing anything to promote us. I don't know if you noticed this, even though we have a large amount of viewers every single day. They're doing nothing to promote us, but by you clicking that like button and the subscribe button, by the way, you're helping it trick them into putting us into people's feeds, and it's really working too. So please, everybody right now, hit the like button on today's show.
There you go. All right, 9:03. We'll get to our morning mystery movie clip in less than 20 minutes, as well as what's on the cut sheet part due, and I've got some polls to get to as well. But first, let's get to the news. It's time for Dawn Stenzel and Big 3 at 9.
It's the Big 3 at 9 on Kale & Company.
Other news of the day that we'll talk about. Number one, just in time for President Joe Biden to retire, because essentially he has recently announced that he will retire early next year. The best state to retire in, according to Bankrate, the new survey, a top survey, the new rankings are out. And the best state to retire in, the first state, Delaware. How convenient for President Joe Biden, where he has been for many days now.
All right. Wilmington, Dover, Rehoboth.
So the first state, why are they putting the first state, Delaware, up there? And you think of, Rehoboth, Dewey, that sort of thing, the beach house that he has. But when they look at it, what they're saying here is that and last year they were second place. And so Delaware moved from second place to first place this year. Iowa was number one last year, dropped to ninth place.
Iowa.
So why did Iowa lose ground? Mainly due to lower scores in the – this is all about affordability, which makes up 40% of the ranking, the cost of living, property taxes, homeowners insurance, and they've all risen in Iowa big time due to the current economy and inflation and all of that. But what Bankrate is saying here is that Delaware, yes, it tends to be a pricier state, true, but it scores well in all the other affordability metrics that they consider. Number one, property taxes, combined state and local taxes, homeowners insurance, because they don't tax Social Security benefits, for example. They don't really have a state or local sales tax, for example, and they have extremely lower property taxes compared to everybody else in the nation.
Wow. Well, my wife's aunt and uncle live in Rehoboth Beach, and they love it, and they've been there for 22, 23 years.
Yeah, well, they feel like geniuses because all the prices, have gone up as people figure this out.
Yep.
But so Delaware, number one, West Virginia, number two.
Oh.
Georgia, number three, South Carolina, four, Missouri, number five. So a lot of southern states.
Where's my state of Florida, my future retirement destination?
I know. Florida always does well in these.
Yeah.
But I think they're not. It looks like they're not in the top five.
Wow.
But they're definitely in the, I believe Florida's in the top 10.
Ron, your thoughts?
Florida is where woke goes to die.
And apparently they're not saying, retirees.
Florida's number eight, but that's because everybody's been moving there.
Yeah.
And so the housing, exactly. The secret's out.
Yeah.
And so you look at other southern, I mean, North Carolina's in the 20s, Virginia 50. We know a lot of people that worked here that moved south. Well,
yeah.
Even Sean Ferris.
Yeah. Sean took a page out of my playbook, except he's probably never going to come back.
So lower cost to live. It's all about Bidenomics, inflation, and that sort of thing.
I could totally see South Carolina there. If I can't do Florida, South Carolina would be a great destination.
Carolinas are beautiful.
Yes.
You can get so much more for your money there. It is unreal when you look at the astronomical prices we pay, taxes we pay, and you go down there and you can live like a king for, you know, a ranch house here.
Yeah. See, but I don't want to be landlocked. I don't want to be in the middle of the state. So for me, for South Carolina, it would either be Hilton Head or Myrtle or somewhere close.
Well,
like, who retires in Orlando, Florida?
Oh, a lot of people.
Really?
Yes.
Ah.
A lot of people retire in that area.
Nah, you got to give
Jacksonville.
I need a coast.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
Too hot, and I'm not getting my relief at a water park.
Well, let's talk about what's going on, and I'll give you the Pennsylvania focus. So, influential Pennsylvania Democrats endorsing Josh Shapiro, our governor, only 2 years in, for the role of the Veep with Kamala Harris's new campaign. We've talked a lot about Kamala Harris yesterday, the live news conference, etc. But they're saying that Josh Shapiro would be the perfect choice. By the way, the Conservative Commonwealth Foundation is launching ads against him and his, quote, do nothing record. So the battle is on, and it's a whole new race with a whole new face. So a hypothetical Harris-Shapiro ticket was polling 1 point with her, a Harris-Shapiro ticket, 1 point, just 1 point ahead of Trump and Vance in Pennsylvania. Politico had put that out there last week, but now that it's real, what will the difference be? So we're looking at all of this. But obviously, Fetterman, all the Democrats, all the delegations lining up in order for sure behind Harris, and many of them behind Shapiro. I will point now, just because we're asking what would happen. So let's say Shapiro ends up running for second in command as the Veep. He could remain governor while doing so, because that's legal here. So, but at the end of the day, Lieutenant Governor Austin Davis would become governor, and then Senate President, if you look at what stacks up moving forward in the November 5th election.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if in the scenario that Shapiro Harris wins, Lieutenant Governor Austin Davis, he becomes governor, and Senate President Pro Tempore Kim Ward, who's a Republican from Pennsylvania, she would take over as lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
So then you would have a Democrat-Republican mix, because that's how it works. Those are our rules.
And as we mentioned earlier, when we played you the clip of John King from CNN saying that the Jewish angle of Shapiro could be a sticking point of contention to be on that that Harris-Shapiro ticket. How glorious would it be if Democrats lose, and they lose because they don't win Pennsylvania, and they don't win Pennsylvania because the Middle East divide is so fractured and is such a divisive issue within the Democrats that they forego Shapiro and it costs them the election? That would be the ultimate irony. And you mentioned Fetterman. Funny you say that. Why is he not being thrown into the mix? Remember, when he defeated Oz, it took all of 6 minutes for the media to say, do you have aspirations of being president? He's not even being floated as Veep. Why? Because he's pro-Israel.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
yeah, you're right.
By the way, guys, Jimmy Matthews on our YouTube chat said he's going to go to Philadelphia today and do a Man on the Street. So he's He's going to beat us.
And Jimmy is the nephew of Chris Matthews.
Yes. Right? He wants to go to the Rocky statue, he said, and do it.
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea because you have a lot of tourists there.
Yeah.
So we got that going on. So we've been talking a lot of. I'm trying to do different stories. So number three, I will take you to Pennsylvania's our archaic rules for buying alcohol, which we've talked a lot about, which is ridiculous in Pennsylvania. But now, you know, before you could buy beer at the grocery store, but you couldn't buy a case of beer, right? You had to, you could buy so many bottles, two bottles of wine or whatever the rule is. So if you really want to buy more bottles of wine and you're having a party, you have to go to an actual state store.
Yeah.
So now they're loosening up these laws to buy booze to go. And this has all been signed into law that you can buy booze to go, canned booze, and buy it to go. So it's a new law to loosen up.
Yeah, we got to just loosen up the entire state. All right, you know, back in my day when I was with my dad in the 90s, he would ride across the Delaware, go into New Jersey, and he'd get his booze from a place called Norton's Cork and Bottle. Yeah, we got back to the days where you could buy booze anywhere you want. The state's got a monopoly on it, and it's outrageous. And I know you know Norton's Cork and Bottle.
Of course I do. Of course I do. It was cheaper there.
Damn right.
Everybody bought it there.
Yep.
Kale and Company News Live.
Thank you very much, Dawn. All right, a little reprieve from 3 hours and 12 minutes of essentially the same topic. This is a great story. Stocker, you found this one.
I don't know if it's a great story or not.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is a great dad or just a deranged individual.
That's the question, right? Is this dad hero of the year, or should he be brought up on charges?
This is courtesy of 6ABC. Franklin Ziegler has been arrested, a Cape May, New Jersey man, accused of decapitating a seagull in North Wildwood.
Okay, I didn't put this in the big three. Oh. You know why? Because you guys dogged me about the dead puppies in the earlier news. So.
Or because I said it on the show sheet last night, so you would have known that it was. If you would have read it, you would have known.
Do you want to give some of the details here, and we'll discuss this, or do you want me to just continue with the cliff notes? So officers responded on July 6th to a report of animal cruelty at Maury's Piers, located at 2501 Boardwalk Avenue. And according to court documents obtained by Action News, Ziegler, 29 of Cape May, admitted to killing the seagull after the seagull attempted to take French fries. Yep. From his daughter.
Yep.
He then reportedly asked the staff at the pier for a trash bag while holding the dead seagull. And Ziegler allegedly became irate and uncooperative with officers on an unrelated investigation, which led to his arrest on charges of disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. So,
hero.
That's where I lean. I mean, if, you know, like when my dog tries to snatch my daughter Mia's bagel, I give him a, you know, a little pout on the snout. I say, no, get away from the table. And I've never thought about decapitating my dog. Well, I have, but not over that. I say good dad here.
I agree with you. I was on the beach for a while at the beginning of July. These seagulls are menaces. They are way more aggressive than I ever remember. They go up to people. If they have like a little box lunch, they'll just walk right up and take the lunch.
Yeah, they don't even ask.
They are so aggressive that something comes after me. Yes, I'm gonna beat the you know what out of it.
On July 18th, he was charged with third degree animal cruelty. I'm all about protecting animals. You're right, domesticated animals, even undomesticated animals. But you know what? I think we have to draw the line at annoying birds at the beach. So if you want to take out a seagull, knock yourself out. I'm not going to get mad at you.
They're like rats. Who cares?
It's a good way to look at it, right?
Like they are. They're flying rats.
If you're on a subway in New York or, you know, riding public transportation in Philadelphia and you see one of these little varmint by your feet and you just, you know what, you just kick one like Dirk Johnson used to kick punts for the Eagles 41 yards in the air with a hang time of 6 seconds. I'm not going to say anything.
The thing about it is, He ripped off the head.
Yeah. He's showing this. Look, this is a, I am not for animal cruelty. Let me just say that I am not for animal cruelty. I love animals more than I love humans. But seagulls are they're rats.
Yeah.
This guy is showing the seagull pack. I'm the boss here. You mess with my kid, and this is what is going to happen to you.
A precedent has been established.
Yes, yes,
yes,
yes.
I agree.
You put the head on a swivel, you know, like the cannibals used to do. You put the head on the swivel, and you say, don't mess with me, or this is what's going to happen.
This man protected his daughter the way I wish and hope the Secret Service would protect Donald Trump.
Amen. Amen.
Amazing.
Now, North Wildwood Police, they say that he rips off the head of the thing.
our pets' heads are falling off.
Police say that they were called, and he apparently became irate and uncooperative, leading to his arrest. So I think there's more to the story here that, according to witnesses, so I just will say this. I don't know all the facts. I don't know that you want. Did he rip the head off of this bird in front of children?
He's like the big guy in Dumb and Dumber when they rip Petey's head off.
Like his little girl, I don't know what's
pretty bird.
You know, I think that his defense will probably be to say, hey, this thing came in and really, like, you know, they can be aggressive. And with its beak, it kind of, you know, really was, I thought it was attacking my little girl and I kind of panicked. But I don't know. I love in Ocean City, this is North Wildwood. In Ocean City, I love that they have, obviously, the birds of prey, that the guy or gal just walks around with these birds of prey, mm-hmm. that they will just launch. The seagull problem is done.
I got to tell you guys, so good work to Phil Almquist. There's a poll right now up on the YouTube chat. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to vote. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. Is this guy a hero or a future inmate? Guys, it's neck and neck. 58% right now say a hero.
Yeah.
So go vote. 33 votes cast. Make sure you go to the YouTube chat and vote. JK13 says, if not for seagulls, the beach would smell like Kensington. I kind of agree with that. They clean up everybody's disgusting mess mm-hmm. that they leave because people set up shop on the beach for 6 hours, 10 hours, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But this ain't your grandfather's seagulls.
Yeah, right.
Well,
they're different. Yeah. They're way more aggressive. Yeah. They are.
Yes.
Technically, I would say cruelty to animals is making them suffer. It sounds like he killed this animal pretty quickly.
Just like that. Yeah. Didn't feel it.
Yeah. So the biggest problem, and he's defending his little girl, but the biggest question here, I mean, obviously if the cops arrested him, there's more to the story because they're saying he became irate and uncooperative. I don't know what happened. Yes. I'm just saying.
How do you catch one of those things?
That's what I'm saying.
He must have been fast.
And was this a MAGA seagull? Was this seagull wearing a red hat?
Hate crime.
Well, no, I think this is clearly a Democrat seagull who has been fed all of its life and given handouts. Food, doesn't know how to hunt and get its own food, and also doesn't know to run away from crazy dads. You know what I mean? Doesn't have any real senses of things. So kind of slow.
So the fact that I just mentioned that poll, now he's a hero, is running away with the voting, 63%. Go to youtube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to vote. Is this guy a hero or an inmate or a future inmate? Vote now, 1210WPHD, youtube.com/at1210WPHD.
Not that we would ever condone any violence,
of course.
We're all
not
animal lovers.
We are all animal lovers.
And dad lovers.
I love animals more than I love humans. But these seagulls are a menace. Yep. They just are.
Marcus Aurelius says on Twitter, seagulls are rats with feathers.
They are. They literally take food out of your hands.
Mm-hmm. And they're just disgusting, dirty creatures.
But you know what? To the point of cleaning up, like, we rented a really nice house, and the one morning I look out, and this is in Ocean City, and there's this, I don't know, this like college kid, and he's in the middle of the street just vomiting because he obviously, you know, it was amateur night. And almost immediately, this is like the wee hours of the morning, almost immediately, these seagulls come out of nowhere and just eat all the vomit.
Yeah,
you know? Those so are, they do clean things up.
Those are animals that we want on this earth. Honestly, look, we, you know, time progresses. Yeah. You know, we are the dominant species in the world.
That's right. You're referring to men, right?
Because of industrialization, we made roads, we cleared out, you know, trees and forests and mm-hmm. to make way for progress. And some animals are not going to survive.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Some animals serve a purpose, right? They feed off of other things. They create more with plants and things like that. I don't know what the positive function of a seagull is.
Well, they clean up. They're the cleanup guys. To answer Nick Hale saying that men are the ultimate species or whatever, women, I will remind you, we were created last. Mm. I did not come from a monkey. I can't, right? We were the pièce de la résistance.
Bree on the YouTube chat says he's a sociopath.
Yeah, he might be.
He might be. I don't know the man, but he might be.
He might be on Discord as well.
But also, can you be both a sociopath and also a hero?
Yeah.
Ask you for friends.
That's just it.
Not all heroes wear capes.
He's on the edge, baby. He's on the edge.
If you want to vote, youtube.com/@1210WPHD. Is this guy a hero or a future inmate? Hero right now at 58%.
All right, enough fun.
Maybe we can spend two more hours talking about Trump v. DeSantis. Will that make you happy, Fred? Will it? 91 LSXer wants to know if it was Christy Noem and her father.
Oh, no. Because Christy Noem would have buried that thing in the sand, and this guy...
And then doubled down.
Yeah, well, and then doubled down.
Let me ask you then, am I being a hypocrite? Because I chastised Christy Noem for saying that, but I'm kind of celebrating his father. It's fine.
Who hates animals more? Poll question. Doctor or Noem?
No, by the way, just one more thing. David on the YouTube chat writes, you guys are being disgusting. You might want to move on. Ever think we're disgusting rats from the animals' perspective? We invaded their habitat. David.
Yeah, David.
Loves it.
I was waiting for somebody to say something.
We invaded it. Shut up.
Just because free speech lives here doesn't mean all of your thoughts are accurate.
I 100% endorse what this guy did.
God.
Maybe or maybe not. Yeah. But he also might be a sociopath. Right?
Yeah. There you go.
We don't have all the facts.
We don't.
Our winner, plus what's on the cut sheet part due, coming up next. Kale and Company, back after this.
Well, let's take a look at a beautiful thing on our roadways right now, and this beauty is undeniable. I'm talking about the new 2024 Tonale from Alfa Romeo of Wilmington Pike. It's built with the iconic grille, those beautiful five-hole wheels. For your convenience, you're going to find a hands-free power liftgate, a 10-inch touchscreen, keyless entry. Oh, there's more, like a wireless charging pad, brilliant. LED adaptive lights and a power moonroof. For a limited time right now, are you ready for this? You can lease a Tonale TI all-wheel drive for only $299 a month for 24 months. Tonale. Visit Alfa Romeo of Wilmington Pike. Alfa Romeo of Wilmington Pike. Chad's Ford for all the deets. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
We will get to the cut sheet part due coming up in a few moments, but the trainer from Sunday's bike ride, my guy, Dave Madden,
Dave,
is checking in. Dave, how are you feeling this morning?
Hello, Nick. I'm feeling great.
You should feel great. You've rode a bike across the country. I feel like I set you back 2 hours riding your Atlantic City.
Oh, this is a charity ride. You know, it's not meant to be raced. It's meant to be have an enjoyable ride and raise money for a good cause. The family's behind the badge, and we rode it the way we wanted to ride the ride. So we did good. We talked to a lot of people. We stopped at rest stops, talked to more people, you know, and we had a good time.
We did. And not only could you probably dust me by 2 hours, but everybody else on our team finished before me. In fact, we got to the tent. We had Stephanie Mack. We had Marissa Fitzgerald. they finished before me. So basically everybody under the sun finished before me, but you're right. It is for a good cause. And a big thanks to you, because for the last 2 years, you've helped me figure out how to actually complete this ride. And I know we didn't train as much this year as we did last year. But what's weird, and I said this to Dawn and Greg yesterday on the air, my legs yesterday, for only doing two rides warming up and finishing in a faster time than last year, felt better this year than they did last year.
Wow.
Last year, my thighs felt like jello the Monday after the ride for the show. Yesterday, I got up, I felt like I might have walked 18 holes on a golf course without a golf cart, but I didn't feel terrible.
Good.
I don't know how that's possible.
Well, you trained. You also trained on your stationary bike at your.
Well, that's true.
At your apartment and all like that.
Yeah,
and it's not like training outdoors, but it does help. It helps a bit, you know. And like most of the training, though, like we said, is to train your butt to sit on that seat for five hours.
Yeah. Dave, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If you weren't slowed down by Nick Cale and you having to basically push him across the finish line, how long would it have taken you to finish that race or that ride?
Oh, if I was in a race, like I have been in long distance endurance races, and I've been in road races and things like that, I could hold the speed of about 22 to 25 miles per hour.
Good God.
So I would get down
3 hours.
I would get down there right around 3 hours. Yeah.
Yep. That's amazing.
Oh man,
no idea how you do that.
I mean, Road Warrior did it.
I know. I don't know how people do it.
3 hours and 15 minutes.
I couldn't hit 22. I couldn't hit Dave.
Amazing.
I couldn't hit 22 miles an hour if you dropped me out of a plane.
Was Nick the last of the team to finish, Dave?
No, I was. I was behind him.
Oh man, boy,
it's ceremonial.
That was nice.
Yeah, you really took one for the team.
That was nice.
Wow.
He did.
Oh man.
He did.
Dave the diplomat.
Yeah.
All right, so I have taken enough abuse. I have to mention one moment on the ride this past Sunday where Dave Madden thought that I got caught up in a train track in the back, and he had to stop, loop back to see if I like fell or if I cramped or I had a flat tire.
Oh my God.
Not to realize that I had a stretch where I found a burst of energy and I shot ahead of Madden, and he had no idea that I was out in front of him.
I thought I had lost Nick Cale, and I go, oh my God, what happened here?
Oh,
so we had just done a left turn up and over railroad tracks and then a right turn, and we're about 100 feet from there, and I look back and I see Nick coming up on my left. And he gets next to me, and I start talking to him, and I look over at him. It wasn't Nick. Oh, my God, what happened? Where is he?
Nick's
and I'm looking back. I'm trying to figure out where he is. And I go, oh, my God, did he get stuck on those railroad tracks? So I circled back and got him.
Yep.
Nick's
and
entire
no,
team
I didn't get him. He wasn't there. And so I go, oh, my God, he must be ahead of me. So it took me about 5 minutes to race up and catch up with him because he was moving along pretty good there.
And then he blew right past me.
I have to say this. Hat tip to Nick Cale, because he is the first person to ride from this radio station since Greg Stocker and Michael Smirkanish did about 10 years ago. So kudos to Nick for even attempting to ride, because, you know, my ankle.
Yes, your ankle.
It was swollen, so I couldn't.
It was. I saw it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I couldn't. And I definitely didn't get crap for not riding.
Yeah.
Definitely did not
exactly.
do that. Yeah.
All right, we'll come back, find out what's left over on the cut sheet part due, and then we'll hand it off to Dawn at the top of the hour. Back after this here on Kale & Company.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
Part due. Our friends at the Washington Free Beacon put together a great montage of the media gushing over Biden's single-term presidency and how historic it was on Sunday at 1:46 p.m. when Joe Biden wrote a letter that clearly he didn't write, saying that he will not seek the second term for the presidency of the United States of America. Philip, this is Cut 1, my friend. Go.
Breaking news. President Biden has just announced that he is ending his reelection bid.
Now, we'll all remember where we were and what we were doing at this moment.
Him watching the waves at Rehoboth Beach, down the street from the boardwalk and the ice cream stand.
Joe Biden has been one of the most consequential and transformative presidents this country's ever seen.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
What a man. What a patriot.
This is leadership. What a man. This is patriotism.
This is a day for Joe Biden.
He can read a poll. He can read a room. He can read a nation.
His heart is as big and as true and as strong.
He has been a phenomenal president.
The president, in a tweet, just announcing that he is offering his full support and endorsement for Kamala Harris to be the nominee of the party.
Vice President Harris, she is now perhaps the most important political figure in the United States.
That backbone of the Democratic Party, black women.
She's somebody who I think has an incredible ability to go out and inspire people and to get them excited about her.
This injects energy.
The Democratic Party will now unify like nothing you have seen from this party in many years.
It's a question of whether or not you want to go backwards with Donald Trump or forward with Kamala Harris.
The Democratic Party is a family. At the end of the day, this is a family matter.
There we go.
You know, if going, I've heard this, if you want to go backwards, you go with Trump. If you want to go forward, you go with Kamala. If going backwards means having more money in my pocket, less crime, and a secure border and energy independence, yeah, sign me up for that. I'll go backwards. You want to go back to what, the 70s, the 80s? I'll keep going back and back and back. It's interesting is there, the media, we say this all the time, the media and the Democrats, they all get the same talking points. And they all go from saying Joe needs to go to looking back fondly of him now like he was George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and any other historic president you want to throw in.
And by the way, if Kamala Harris loses, then all of a sudden it'll be Joe stayed in too long. It was Joe's fault. They didn't, you know what I mean? They'll turn on a dime.
Oh, no question.
So who will be vice president, or who will be Kamala Harris's running mate? Who will be her vice president? We opined yesterday about the possibilities. Gretchen Whitmer's name came up from Michigan. And would the Democrats go all-female ticket? Kudos to WLNS-TV. This is the local ABC affiliate in Lansing, Michigan, who ran down Governor Whitmer, to ask if she would be Kamala Harris's running mate. This is what she said. Cut two, Phil. Go.
Hi,
Governor. Governor.
Mask over his ears.
Are you prepared to take the vice presidency if it's offered, ma'am?
No, I'm not planning to go anywhere.
So if they offer it, you will not take it?
I am not leaving Michigan. I'm proud to be the governor of Michigan. I've been consistent. I know everyone is always suspicious and asking this question over and over again. I know you're doing your job. I'm not going anywhere.
And you are endorsing the vice president?
Yes.
How long? Why did it take you so long?
I think everyone was surprised by the news yesterday, even though there was a lot of conversation about it, and that means co-chairs included. So I wanted a minute to check in with all my colleagues and let the dust settle, and proud to be supporting the vice president for president.
And finally, are the two.
Thank you so much.
All right, I got to go. See you.
Sir, can you put your mask back up and also socially distance from me? You're too close. You know what's interesting is we always talk about the names that are floated out commonly and frequently. You know, Gretchen Whitmer, Gavin Newsom. And it becomes obvious that when you look at it and you say, oh, that has to be the person, it usually is not.
Agreed.
That person.
Agreed.
100%. So you can probably scratch off Shapiro and some of the other notable figures that we always talk about. That's why I'm thinking, and I'm on record, I'll be the first guy to predict it. I said it yesterday. I said it earlier this morning. I think it'll be Wes Moore from Maryland.
Interesting.
That'll be my pick.
Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, was on with Caitlin Collins last night. Giving his 15 minutes of fame in the spotlight now, since his name is, like, I think the New York Times list has his name at number one.
Wow.
His name at number one, and Roy Cooper from North Carolina at number two. So this is what he said. He takes some shots at J.D. Vance here. This is Cut 21. Phil, go.
I want you to listen to what J.D. Vance said today, Senator J.D. Vance, at his first solo rally since he was named as Donald Trump's running mate.
This is not okay, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot for 3.5 years take a guy who clearly didn't have the mental capacity to do the job. Kamala Harris lied about it. My Senate Democratic colleagues lied about it. The media lied about it. Every single person who saw Joe Biden knew that he wasn't capable of doing the job. And for 3 years, they said nothing until he became political dead weight.
What's your reaction to that, Governor?
Well, first, he ought to call the vice president by her title. She earned it. She is Vice President Harris. But the second is they're grasping for straws. Listen, J.D. Vance is a phony. He's fake. I mean, he first says that Donald Trump is like Hitler, and now he's acting like he's Lincoln. I mean, the problem with J.D. Vance is he has no conviction. But I guess his running mate has 34.
I'm glad you...
little haymaker there, Leon.
Are you clever?
For somebody who the majority of the country had no idea what he looked like, sounded like, anything, right. That's your first your first peek into Andy Beshear.
So basically what you're saying is you can't go from being against Trump to being for him in the course of 8 years is what he's implying. Okay. If that's your stance, I mean, Joe Biden went from being a centrist to being somehow a left-winger. But, you know, I guess only certain people are not allowed or allowed to change.
All right, that's what I got for you.
All right. Good stuff today. Let's find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show. She's got conviction. She does.
Yes.
She's got courage, but she doesn't have 34 of them. Dawn, go right ahead. What do you got?
Yeah, so in the 11 o'clock hour, Linda Kearns will talk elections, election integrity. We all love Linda.
Big donor.
So we'll hear from, Linda. And
tell her to send in her playlist for the end of August.
Yeah. Okay. We'll note that one. So there's so much in breaking and developing. We'll talk about Barack Obama. Where is he on all of this locally? All the reaction from Democrats, Republicans, the opening of yet another Trump Force 47 office. We'll get to all of that. I will also talk about Elon Musk revealing something very personal, near tears, as he revealed something in his life and what motivated him in part to sign up to support Trump. And so we want to get to Elon Musk. Very important. We have so much audio to get through and so much that's developing and breaking this hour as we move through the day. These news cycles, wow, I've never seen anything like this.
Okay. I think I know where you're going with Elon as well. Very fascinating. I was thinking about commenting on that tomorrow as well. Good catch by you. All right, let's find out what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. On Kale & Company.
Today, July 23rd, we celebrate the birthdays of David Essex, the Rock On guy, who's now 77. Martin Gore from Depeche Mode, who's 63. Slash, who's now 59. And a heavenly birthday shout-out to Nick Menza from Megadeth. We also lost Amy Winehouse on this day in 2011. Singles include Drive by the Cars in 84 and Working for a Living by Huey Lewis and the News in 82. Albums include VOA by Sammy Hagar in 84 and Emotions in Motion by Billy Squire in 82. Also, in 89, Ringo Starr began his first tour since a breakup of the Beatles. In 69, the Stones were atop the UK singles chart with Honky Tonk Women. In 83, the Police kicked off their Synchronicity tour. And in 2014, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin got a speeding ticket in her hometown. She blamed the excessive speed on Sammy Hagar's I Can't Drive 55 playing on the radio. When Sammy got word, he actually tweeted Sarah offering to cover the ticket.
Oh, that's amazing.
But lastly, tonight, the Foo Fighters are in Hershey, rain or shine. Yes, of course, I will be there. Because one, I don't skip huge shows. And contrary to your reports, rock isn't dead. I'll see you tomorrow. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lundquist.
Just don't skip this show tomorrow, Philip. All right?
Be here bright and early, dude.
Have a good time.
Thank you. First one here.
Yes, indeed. All right, that'll do it for us. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. John Fetterman might not end up being the Veep for Kamala Harris because he's Jewish, but he'll always live on our board.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.